America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
LFG. All right.
Right?
Yeah, here we are. I mean, look, I got my answer, you got yours. And we want all of yours. You know the deal. Normally, by the way, we tell you that on a Monday after a game, we clear the whole thing out. There are no guests. Dibs, we actually do have one. One man.
One guest?
One man who's going to join the show in 45 minutes is not even 49ers related, and you're going to love it. I almost want to keep it a little bit of a surprise.
Okay.
It is somebody who won the weekend. I mean, won the weekend. It was a tough weekend. And he's going to pop on for like 5 minutes at 3 o'clock. And he's going to share his story. You're going to freaking love his story. I promise you, all of you.
Okay.
You drank up his story like a big glass of water.
I have a guess, but I won't say it on the air. I honestly don't know.
You know damn well who it is. I know you don't know, but you know.
I think I do now.
He won the weekend like no one else, and he's going to pop on for about 5 minutes here at 3 o'clock. But 888-957-9570. Something is not right. What is it? That's the question. Something's not right. What is it?
I mean, it's not just one thing.
Well, yeah, what's your answer?
My answer is that they're not on the same page, whether it's the offense and the red zone. 1-for-6 is unacceptable, and you're 30th in football in red zone efficiency. Last year, you were number one. How do you go from number one to number 30? It's not just because you don't have Christian McCaffrey. That's not the reason.
Correct.
That's, I think, a little bit too simplistic. Defensively, I see a team that is either not totally sold on the scheme, or the scheme is too predictable, and or this team doesn't look like they're in great shape. And I can't believe I'm talking about the fitness of a pro athlete. But
how is it possible?
Wow. Look at how these last two games have played out. You've gotten to the second half, and the defense has started to get gashed. And I know you lost Hufanga And I know that Fred Warner was compromised for the majority of the game, but look at what happened in the second half. They ran the ball right at you, and they got 6 and 4 and 8 and 12 and 9 and the rest of it, and they were going straight down the field. And the other piece, and this is always tough because Kyle Shanahan, he's a really good coach and he's a great offensive mind, but I do think that he gets too stuck in his ways. And I was listening yesterday to Overtime with Sterling and our old buddy Kyle Madsen, and I actually texted in because I was listening and I was so mad.
Oh, you texted the text line?
I texted just or Kyle direct. I went direct to Kyle.
Oh, you went around the text line?
Because they're not running any screens, they're not running any draws, and when you have an offensive line that's really having trouble giving your quarterback time, you need to do things other than just have your quarterback drop straight back. They don't run screens. They don't run draws. They didn't use Debo enough. I think that they're becoming too predictable in their offense. So what's wrong? What one thing? I don't know what one thing other than to say it looks like they are disjointed.
Well, obviously it's not one thing. And I'm not, I don't even want to play that. Like, what's right. The one thing? I just mean we look at the team and something doesn't look and feel right. So what is it? You know, what comes to your mind? I'll tell you what comes to mind for me is the fact, and I think this is a little bit of an extension of something you were just about to say, which is that the 49ers don't look right when things need adjusting. The 49ers look like they're too married to structure. And we know this actually about Kyle Shanahan. Remember when Kurt Warner came on with us a year ago? And we're like, why can't Kyle come from behind? And he's like, because the offense is not built to do that. It's literally their strategy. Their strategy is to get the lead and hold the lead. What an irony that they are now having a hard time holding the lead. And they have a hard time coming from behind. We know this about the 49ers. And so that's what it feels like to me. You are too married to structure. Because when you have structure in the first half, and that wasn't even the most structured way to get your 13-point lead. Hell, you blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown, and you got a field goal by somebody who's not your kicker. So there were weird things going on. But the bottom line is, they normally think, we've got a talent-rich roster and a good scheme and a good script, and we like our chances to hit you in the mouth first. Look what they did to the Rams 2 weeks ago. Pow. 14-0. Here's the Cardinals, 23-10 at halftime. We're going to get a lead on you with our structure. And then what happens next? People make adjustments. People start coming after you. A turnover happens. A sudden change. And there's chaos. And within that chaos, the 49ers don't do well. That's what I see. That's what I see. I see a team that's not ready for anything. I see a team that's ready for what they're ready for. But then when that doesn't happen, like every single one of us experiences in life every day, when you wake up and you're like, well, this is what I'm going to do today. Does it go that way? Not usually. You have a two-year-old. Does it ever go the way you planned it? Probably very rare.
Today's pretty good. But
okay, good. Congratulations.
Got through it today.
Happy Monday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a victory Monday.
Second half of the day is still coming. But you've got to be ready to pivot. You got to be ready for, whoops, I didn't see that coming. And that's what I feel like with the Niners, and I can't really put a finger on exactly what or who that is. That it's everybody. It's all the things. The defense, Nick Bosa is talking about, you can't adjust. Kyle Shanahan has a reputation for doing it with structure and then having a hard time coming from behind. But the second they need to come from behind, or the second somebody starts coming at them from behind, it feels like they're uncomfortable and a fish out of water. That's the first thing that comes into my head when I watch what's going on with this team.
Yeah, I think about a couple different things. One is just untimely mistakes. And, you know, you don't want to put it all on J.P. Mason because it's a team effort whenever you lose. And you didn't lose solely because of that. But you got down to the 8-yard line with a 2-point lead and the ball and first and goal at the 8. And you give the ball to the guy who's been your best running back. He's one of the best running backs in football this year, and he fumbles. And that is unfortunate. And then you look at the other side, and you have a defense that in the second half, and really, you can look at the first half too, if it wasn't for the blocked punt or the blocked field goal, rather, it was a defense that was not exactly wrecking the game. they were not, you know, getting a lot of takeaways. You had Nick Bosa with the singular play and the interception, which was fantastic.
Yep, but it was a great read.
Otherwise, the defense was really out of sorts a little bit. And Steve Wilks got a lot of criticism last year, and I want to make sure that Sorensen gets the same kind of energy because this defense looks as scattered, as haphazard, if not more so than the Steve Wilks defense from last year.
I don't disagree with that. I also think, and listen, I'll speak for us. I don't really know. Like when people say that Steve Wilks got criticized, it's funny. During the year, I actually don't think he really did. I didn't hear that. I know he got fired. That's worse than being criticized, by the way. But like when we do that, I don't really actually even remember that. Do you remember on a weekly basis people were like, Steve Wilks, he's doing a poor job? I didn't feel that way. I don't think people felt that way. I don't think people throughout the year thought the Niner defense was bad. I think for a three-game stretch, actually don't even call it that, for a two-game stretch that led into a bye. So for 3 weeks, Steve Wilks' name was center stage because he did a zero blitz in Minnesota right before half, and the whole team ended up with their pants down around their ankles and lost a game in Minnesota. And then Joe Burrow came directly to town the following week and barely threw an incompletion. But the reason Steve Wilks was front and center during that time was because Kyle Shanahan called him out
exactly
in front of a podium. So I would argue that the fan base is just taking their cues from the team. I don't think at no point last year was I like, this defense is awful. I never felt that way. They were one of the better defenses in the league. I had my thoughts on Steve Wilks simply because it looked like he and Kyle Shanahan weren't really digging working together. And if that's the case, work with someone else. But I like, if you're asking me, does this defense look better or worse than Steve Wilks' defense last year? This looks worse. Clearly this looks worse. Like, Steve's defense looked bad for those 2 weeks, and then in the first half, really, really bad in the first half against the Lions in the NFC title game. Outside of that, at minimum, it's a workable defense all year with great players on it. This defense looks mid.
Totally.
It just looks average.
Well, you wish they were average, and if you want to talk about where they are in yards per play, they're giving up 5.6 yards per play, which is 21st. And that's not among the elite defenses, the Jets and the Titans and Denver, which is looking like they have a really good defense. I know they played the Raiders, but still, those are better defenses on yards per play allowed. And the 49ers are giving up too much. And I watched them yesterday in the last couple of drives. And, yeah, James Conner's a load. And I looked at a defense that was just worn down. They looked tired. And I know it was really hot. It was hot for both teams. And you bottle up James Conner for about three quarters of that game. And then suddenly, you couldn't, and you didn't do anything schematically to slow him down. You didn't crowd the line of scrimmage. You didn't go, you know, into a man set. It feels like every time they try something creative with a blitz, it's pretty telegraphed, and the offenses are able to pick it up. I don't know how many times you really disrupted Kyler Murray yesterday throughout the game. So I look at a defense that is the biggest issue right now in how disjointed they are, and then offensively, the red zone.
Yep.
The red zone is a huge problem, and you could look at everybody yesterday, and they all have shared blame. 1 for 6 in the red zone. You had a miss to Kittle, which would have been a walk-in touchdown. You had a J.P. Mason fumble at the 8-yard line. You had clock mismanagement, in my opinion, at the end of the first half. It just was a complete cacophony of errors in the red zone.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. You know, I do have fewer concerns on the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side of the ball, but that's clearly the one that is worth pointing to right now. And Christian McCaffrey is at best only part of that story. You know, I understand that just his presence on the field opens up your playbook in different ways. But I have a hard time buying, like, if you've got one of the most productive backs in the game, even if he's more traditional, he's more traditional than Christian McCaffrey, but you have the way he's producing, you've got one of the best tight ends, you've got 2 to 3 at minimum really high-level receivers, and you have a mobile and accurate and smart quarterback, how the hell are you not scoring more touchdowns when you're in the red zone? It does, like, that defies logic.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. I mean, you have the ability to run it, and you don't run it, and then you pass it. You try to pass it, and you get close, and then you know, one thing you look at when you watch the game back is that they're not getting a lot of one-on-one victories inside the red zone. You're not beating a lot of man coverage in the deep, dark red zone, and you've got a offensive line that is really struggling to protect the quarterback. So your quarterback gets back there, no one's open, and the pocket collapses, and so he's got a tough choice to make, and what he's choosing to do is run back into the side, back in the other side, and run around and try to make a play, and it's not working.
Well, I mean, that one you and I see a little bit differently, because most of the time it does work. It has led to some phenomenal plays this year. I get especially the one that knocked them out of, I guess, field goal range. Like, I don't even know what Wisnowski can do. That one was a bad decision. I'll agree with you completely there. All right, so 888-957-957 is the number. And that's what we want to hear from you about all day long. Something clearly feels and looks off. In your mind, what is it? It's all your calls next. 888-957-9570. We want to let you know that Wednesday, October 16th, this is a week from Wednesday, we will be broadcasting live, and I want to say we get to broadcast live because this is going to be so great, from John Madden Studio, as we remember the great John Madden. Members of the Madden family will be there along with Mooch, Steve Mariucci. He'll join us on site at 3. You'll be able to hear long-lost recordings of John's KCBS performances, food and drink included in your chance to buy Mornings with Madden, which is written by our friend Stan Bunger. It is a private event, but tickets are still available. Go to eventbrite.com and search Madden. We're also sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Your phone calls next. This is Willardon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Dibs.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, I get it. It's kind of, it's probably a long time ago, actually, but I remember, even in my career, I wonder if you felt the same thing. There's such a thing as too much preparation. And our business is not like the Niner business at all. No one's chasing us. No one's going to hit us. I don't think. I know some of you want to hit us.
On the text line.
Yeah, that's fine. The Comcast business text line.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Anyway, but there is such a thing as too much preparation. And the reason I say that, because I'm a believer in preparation, but if you're so prepared and you sort of expect, I'm going to go in and, it's, okay, at 2:35, this is what we're going to say. And then at 2:38, it'll be your turn. And then at 2:40, it'll be mine. If you do that, then, first of all, I don't think it's going to look very good and sound very good. But secondarily, what do you do then when it gets all messed up? What do you do when it gets all messed up? Are you still able to function? And that's my question with the 49ers right now. You go out and win every first quarter. They win all the first quarters. They're prepared, they're talented, and they get the lead. And at halftime, they have usually got the lead. And then people adjust, and the weird starts happening. Somebody runs into somebody's butt and fumbles and whatever. And it's like, okay, we've got some chaos. You gotta do something different. That's where I feel like the Niners have a little bit of a hole.
Yeah, and I don't think that it comes from, you know, once you get off the script, because you're right, if you look at first possessions, and I think Arizona's been even better. I think they've scored on every first possession this year, and they came out and boom, little zone read, and Bosa crashes down on the running back, and Campbell gets washed out by a block, and Kyler Murray is celebrating at the 40. He had his finger up, he was pointing like, no one's going to catch me, fellas, 50 yards to his house. Two plays, 72 yards, and you're down 7-0. So, yeah, it's not only the script, and it's how you adjust. And I thought that they adjusted pretty well for the most part in the first half. But I wonder when they get into the red zone and they get into the low red zone inside the 10, what's going on? Why can't they come up with winning plays? Now, you had the 5-yard pass to Kittle, which, as I mentioned in the crossover, was a brilliant design out of 22 personnel where you break the huddle and Saubert goes wide to the boundary as a receiver, and Kittle's in the normal spot, and you had Mason spread out as a receiver. You go two running backs, two tight ends, and if you're the defense, you're thinking, okay, here comes a smash-mouth run play, and they go empty, and you know you get five eligibles on the line of scrimmage. Arizona was confused. Yep. That was a genius play call, but other than that, your red zone was muted.
Here's what Brock Purdy said about the red zone play.
Man, we just need to play better, and that starts with myself. Get down in the red zone. We got to execute and score touchdowns. Thought there was multiple times where we could have pulled away significantly in the first half. Again, that starts with myself. And so there's that, and then second half when defense is getting stops, we can't just turn the ball right back over. I mean, that's pretty plain as day, and so we just got to be better in that area and back up the defense when the defense is doing their thing. We have to be able to go down the field and execute and put points up on the board, not give the other team life. So we need to play better.
More to say on that from Brock?
Everything's, you know, pretty tight. It's close, and we just got to be aggressive. And obviously, it starts with me. I'm the guy with the ball. So, you know, being aggressive to certain guys and matchups and giving guys chances. And so I just got to be hard on myself with that. Obviously, you want to be smart and protect the ball, but got a matchup and a good look. We got to rip it. And so, you know, I just got to be better and more aggressive down there. And then just collectively as a unit, offensive unit, once we get down there, like all of us, our mindset, man, has to be we got to punch this in. Obviously, we know we can settle for a field goal, but we got to hold ourselves to a higher standard and cross the goal line.
All right. So, I mean, there's what he had to say, and I think there's some stuff there, but there's also going to be a lot of obviouslys, and there's going to be a lot of starts with myself.
Yeah.
And you know what? You love that about Brock.
I don't hate it.
No. I mean, that's being a good teammate. Then again, if you say it every single time, I'm not going to say it's disingenuous, but it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much there is to chew on there. But, you know, yeah, as a teammate, I'm sure that'll play well.
Of course, but at the end of it, when you look at the film, and I know they've already done so, and they're on to Seattle, because that game is coming up here in 3 days and 3 hours, basically, so you don't have time to lament, which I guess is good news if you're in that locker room. You got there early today, and you got to look at the cut-ups, whatever coach decided to share with you, and you wipe it, and you flush it, and you move on. That's good that you don't have, like last year, where you had that bad loss, and you go into the bye. And it's like, okay, now we got 2 weeks to mull this one over. You have no time to really sit on this, but you can look at the red zone, and I think you share responsibility with a lot of people. And yeah, he had Kittle, and if he puts the ball on Kittle, he probably makes it to the pylon, and that's a touchdown instead of the field goal.
For sure.
And then the one where your kicker had already ripped up his ankle, and so even though your red zone failure netted 0 points, you probably would have gotten three if you had an actual kicker. Even though you went back to 4th and 23, you had a false start on Juwan. The one at the end of the half, I think that Brock is talking about, where you had the ball at the 7-yard line and you had three straight incomplete passes, and then Wisnowski came in. And you were fortunate to get that last incomplete with 1 second left. And that's where, yep, I thought that Shanahan could have done more with the clock, because you ended up having a timeout. And you got down to the 7-yard line with the timeout, but you only had like 17 seconds left. Had you been a little bit more judicious with your timeout, you could have run the ball.
Or at least had the threat of the run.
Exactly.
Which opens up
the pass.
You had
no threat of the run at that spot. So I think that the blame is shared across many people in the red zone. You can't go 1 for 6. 6 trips to the zone and you got 13 points. And you didn't score in the second half.
Not when you're the 49ers. There's too many options.
And Arizona's defense is not
very
good.
They're not that great. Yeah, yeah. Let's go to David, and what we, again, love to hear from you. Something feels off. What is it? 888-957-9570 is the number. David in Walnut Creek. Hi, David. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Willard. Dibs, how's it going?
What's cooking?
Well, I'm doing my thing. You guys are into the nitty-gritty. I'm just zoomed out. And the last time I called, it was I was talking Warriors, and my point was the team that we're looking at was just not a team that was gonna be up for the grind anymore. And I got a feeling there's just a ton of parallels between what we've seen in with the Warriors the last couple of years and what we're seeing now with the 49ers, and that is, it's just an arc, guys. It's a psychological, physiological, economical arc that these teams go on, which is, you know, you get a cohort of guys and they make magic and they're awesome and they have whatever the level of success is, and they either cash it in or they don't, but then at some point they lose the edginess and the willingness to grind. And I'll leave you with this, is that tackling was horrible, dudes.
Yep.
And that tackling reminds me of how I feel when I watch the on-ball defense of the Warriors. And they just don't want to make the extra effort. They want it to be easier than it is. These other teams don't expect it to be easy. They're willing to do what it takes. And watching, you know, the Warriors get blown by was just like watching their running back just run through our line. It was the same exact feeling.
David, I think you got a point. And thank you very much for the call. And this is something that came up last night, and it was probably while Kyle and Sterling were still doing their post-game coverage, so nobody here got to hear it. But Ephraim Salaam, who I do the Sunday night show with, who lost a Super Bowl his rookie year. He lost a Super Bowl. Now, it's a little bit different because they weren't expected to go to the Super Bowl. They weren't the big fancy favorites like the 49ers are. But his assessment, I thought, was interesting because you and I have had the conversation about a Super Bowl hangover. I usually kind of dismiss it. The data on, oh, the team that loses the Super Bowl usually doesn't come back. I'm like, right, because unless you're a dynasty, like, usually you don't go back to the Super Bowl. It's really hard to go there. The 49ers have been to the Final Four almost every year. So I don't really buy the idea of a Super Bowl hangover, but he threw out a point that was a little bit different, and I got to give some thought to it. And it's essentially what David was just saying. Is it possible, and the Niners would never admit this, they would never even admit it to themselves, but somewhere deep in their DNA, they just can't get up for the early regular season. They can't match the other team because they have become almost bored by it. In fact, they've had seasons that start like this, and they still end up in the NFC title game. What's the stat of the last 10 years with the Niners? And I know that's not just Kyle, but 7 out of the last 10 years, they're under 500 after 5 games. So it's almost as if, even though they know better than this, they've lost their edge because they just don't buy that what's happening right now is going to affect the end. And I got to admit, I sort of agree with them. Like, if I had to ask you right now, you believe the Niners are going to turn this around?
What does that mean, turn it around? Are they still going to make the playoffs?
Yeah,
they're
going to
figure it out. I would say they're still going to make the playoffs.
Okay,
yes.
They're going to figure it out and win the NFC West.
Oh, no.
No?
I think they'll make the playoffs.
But you don't think
I'm not sold that they'll win the NFC West.
Well, you don't have to be sold, but if you had to predict, you still think they're going to win the division?
If I had to bet, if you gave me $1,000 and you said,
put on one team.
You got to bet it. You got to bet it on somebody to win the NFC West.
One of those four, who are you putting it on?
I'd say, can I bet it on Friday?
No. No.
Can I get back to you on Friday?
No, right now.
I would still bet with your money, I would bet on the Niners.
There you go.
But you know, fade the Dibber, nobody wants me betting on the Niners.
By the way, Lucas,
we can get into that.
I know you're running around like a crazy person in there. But if you can pull just a little stretch of what happened at 5:50 on Friday, when this man that I'm looking at,
one man,
picked the Niners to cover, if we could play a little bit of that for the people who get home at 5:30 and didn't hear it, if we could play that, I think it would probably be therapeutic.
We saw it coming a mile away.
A mile away.
I mean, they're up 10, guys.
They were up 13.
What am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to not do what you keep doing.
Yeah.
Dippers.
Yeah. Monday Night Lock coming straight ahead.
Great.
If you want to talk about slow starts, and I'm looking back at 2022, where they lost to Philly and his arm fell off. They started that year 3-2, and they had the loss that you were at Chicago.
Yeah.
They had the Jimmy Garoppolo sachet out of the end zone in Denver. And then you lost to Atlanta and Kansas City back-to-back. So you were 3-4, actually.
3-5. They ended up 3-5.
They were 3-4. They wound up 13-4. They were not 3-5. This is the year that you went to the Chicago game.
Yes.
They finished the year 13-4.
Oh, were they 3-5 the year before that?
The year before that, they were 2-0, and they were 3-5.
Okay.
They were 2-0, then 2-4. Then 3-5, and they wound up that year 10-7.
And they went to the NFC title game.
And lost.
And had a 10-point lead in
exactly.
The fourth quarter.
So, I mean, if you want to look at parallels, unfortunately, this does not... Well, there's no parallel for this team starting slow and then winning the Super Bowl.
No.
Because they haven't done that.
They haven't done that. But my point is, whether you agree with them or not, they clearly, they've said this out loud, they think they're the best team.
Right.
They think they're the best team. They've had multiple scenarios play out in the last 4 years. And to them, all of them lead to the same place, which is the NFC title game. And so they would never say this to you. They'd never even say it to themselves. I don't think they go into these games like, we're better than them. But somewhere deep in their core, they do. They've lost their edge. They think that they're going to win these games. And even if they don't, it's not going to bite them. That's what they think.
Well, I don't know if that's what they think.
That's what it looks like to me.
What I see is a team that is not closing, and I don't see the plays not being made by those veterans. I see Jordan Mason, a young player, who made a young player mistake and he fumbled.
Yeah.
And your second year kicker is getting involved in contact that he doesn't need to be involved in. And if he doesn't get hurt, if you don't lose your kicker, you probably win that game. But for whatever reason, your kicker thought that he was, you know, he was a linebacker. Yeah. He was Fred Warner. Unnecessarily.
How about a view from 10,000 feet?
Sure.
If I just ask you this question. Last 5 years of 49ers football, pretty good team?
Yeah.
Pretty good results?
Sure.
Okay. Four of those last 5 years, they've started 2-3.
Right. Four of the last five.
I want everyone to hear that.
2019, they started 8-0. Actually, yeah, 8-0.
Yeah, that's not 5 years.
Right.
20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So start in 20.
20, they went 6-10.
Okay.
21.
21.
They were...
We already detailed this. They went 3-5.
Yep.
Following year, 3-4. Last year, 5-0. This year, 2-3. So that's four out of the last 5 years.
Right.
And four of those years have obviously been completed, and three of them ended up at least in the NFC title game and one of them in the Super Bowl.
2021, NFC title game on the road.
Yes.
Loss. 2022, correct. NFC title game on the road.
Lost.
So if you want to talk about a team that can still go on the road and lose in the playoffs, yeah, this team can do that.
I mean, come on. Like, you know, and that's the play where there was no quarterback in the game. But I'm not telling you that what's happening right now is not damaging.
2023, you had the bye.
Yes.
And you won two home games, and then you lost the Super Bowl.
I hope you're not taking from this that I think it's better to go 2-3 than 5-0. My point is, I think the Niners have been here before, and they collectively have a hard time really feeling like urgency in the first five games of a year. They have a hard time feeling urgency because they think they're the better team, and even when the wacky happens, which has happened twice in the first 5 weeks, we got it.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
I think it's wacky. I think it's just
two of
football.
These losses are wacky.
Well, it's you can say wacky. I would use another five-letter word.
That's fine.
Not wacky.
Choke.
Exactly.
Sure. That's
close
fine.
Close it out. Whatever. Close the game.
And you're not wrong.
I mean,
you're not wrong. But
if you're sitting there at 2-3, thinking, "Oh, this wacky madcap football."
No, but you know, and you've agreed with me on this that in those two games, six or seven things had to go perfectly for the other team, and they all did. And some of them are mental, and some of them are physical. If Jordan Mason doesn't fumble, I believe the Niners win the game. If they've got a kicker, I believe the Niners win the game. That's my belief.
Sure.
But these things all happened, and they are the kinds of things that happen when a team has lost its edge, because they're not really buttoned up and feeling urgent when they're up by 10 at the end of the fourth quarter. They're like, "Yeah, we got this thing."
Yeah.
That's what I see.
Second double-digit blown lead.
Yes.
That's now 20 in the Kyle Shanahan era. 20 fourth-quarter leads that they've blown,
I mean,
which is a lot. And I look at more disturbing trends, and I'll share more of them as we go. I do want to get to the phones because so many people are queuing up to let it rip, but I've unearthed some disturbing trends this year that I have not seen before from this Niner team.
I bet. Rob in San Jose is next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Rob.
Hey, what's up? Hey, so I was at the game yesterday, and I got a few things. One, I kind of feel what you're feeling, Mark. I think they do think that they're better than they actually are. They feel like they're better. They feel like they're going to beat the Rams. They're going to beat the Cardinals. And I just don't think that they're that good. They think they are, but the proof is in the pudding, right? In blowing leads and not scoring in the second half. And the other point I want to make is, touching on all that the last 5 years, I think this team has serious scar tissue in losing those close games. Yeah, okay, they beat the Lions in the NFC Championship. Then what happens? They get smacked and lose a lead in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. And all this team has really experienced, and as fans we know this, is heartbreak and losing, getting to NFC Championships. Fantastic. Losing in Super Bowls, losing NFC Championships, they got scar tissue, and they have not been able to get over that edge. And I feel like this is a team that more so knows how to lose than really knows how to win.
Rob, that's interesting. Thanks. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know. Scar tissue from the disappointment. You know, they've had a lot of close playoff games that they've won. Yes, they've had some very, very high-profile collapses. But I still don't see those collapses as a team. I mean, we've already established when it gets chaotic, I don't like what I see. That's not what they're built to do, and that's a problem. But I don't know if it's so much like that sort of muscle memory of, oh no, we have a lead. I think it's more, we got a lead. I really do. Like, they look like a team that thinks they're going to beat the Rams, and then it's 14-0, and then they're like, we beat the Rams. And it's like, you didn't beat the Rams yet. And then, in a situation where if four or five things all collectively go wrong in the fourth quarter, you could lose. And that's exactly what's happened to them twice.
Yeah, I think that that's, for me anyway, that's a little bit too forgiving for what I'm seeing. I see an offensive line
I'm not forgiving that is for getting...
Well, to me, it's inexcusable. If that really is the mindset, that this team thinks that the first five games don't really matter and that we're still good, then what's going on with the coaching that's allowing this mindset to be pervasive? I see an offensive line that is really struggling, and I see an offense that doesn't have the killer instinct.
I agree with you, but I also think there is some human nature in there. The comp I've made before is kind of like, you know, if you're down on your luck in life, walk around here in the city, right? You're going to walk by people that are really like really, really, really
sure
struggling.
Yeah.
Okay. You could have not eaten all day. You can't be as hungry as them. You can't because in the back, deep back in your mind, you know that you're okay. And I think that's a super serious way of sort of packaging it.
Yeah.
But that, I'm telling you, that's just my feeling.
Yeah.
The 49ers, they do. They've been through this, and it's all worked out before, and still led them to have a shot in the end. They think they're the better team, and in the past they have been.
Yeah, but they're not, is the thing.
Well,
they're not the better team. Arizona was better than you, and the Rams were better than you.
Now we're in semantics.
Minnesota was better than you.
I don't buy that at all, and neither do you.
Well, I buy it yesterday.
You don't think
Arizona
the Rams
was better than you were yesterday, and the Rams were better than you when it counted, and that's the reality of you are what your record says you are, and you had a chance yesterday. You had four possessions yesterday in the second half, and you scored 0 points, and... Yep. If that is your mindset of, you know what, we're still good.
I'm not saying that this is a good characteristic.
I'm not saying it is either. I'm saying if that is your characteristic, then you've got a bigger problem than just a young running back who can't hold on to the football.
I agree with that completely. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. 888-957-9570. Feels like something's off? What is it? But also this, tucked into coming up next... gosh, you're going to love who joins us, because in a weekend where there was a lot of disappointment, this guy won the whole shebang. And I bet you saw it. You may not. If you haven't seen it, wait till we tell you about it. Okay? This is a real special call that we're going to take coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.